Hello and welcome to Open Finance, the podcast series that believes the future of finance is open, brought to you by Finastra. In this series, we're exploring financial exclusion, bridging the wealth gap, and international fintech collaboration. I'm Helen Driver, founder of MoneyReady and a former fund manager. In this episode, we're looking at the impact of COVID-19 on the fintech ecosystem. Adaptability has been essential for businesses and individuals over the past year, as we've had to get used to different ways of living and working during the pandemic. So how has the fintech ecosystem adapted? To discuss this, I spoke to Liam Gray, fintech lead at TechNation, a government-funded growth platform for technology businesses. Traman Nguyen, co-founder of the Centre for Technology, Finance and Entrepreneurship. And Ellie Rosner, Chief Product and Technology Officer at Finastra. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Liam, let me start by asking you to rewind back to early 2020, pre-COVID, when the TechNation 2020 report was released. What were the big trends highlighted in that report?
Yeah, it seems like a million years ago now, but everything was moving in the right direction. So from a sort of tech perspective, in the UK, looking at all areas of technology, there was 10.1 billion invested in the UK scene. That was up 44% from the year before. If we zero in on fintech, there was about £4 billion invested in fintech, and that was a 100% increase on what was invested in 2018. And the UK was being seen as the leader in Europe for fintech and tech in general. So I'd say that when we go back to the beginning of 2020, it looked super promising for technology in general, especially the fintech sector in the UK and also globally as well. There was a lot of growth there too.
Picking up on the point of global, perhaps I can bring in Ellie and Traman. What trends were you seeing on a global fintech basis pre-COVID?
Yeah, on a global basis, so what we've seen is that there is more traction in the marketplace in terms of banks looking to collaborate with fintechs in order to enrich the experience they deliver to their customers. We've seen more fintechs that are running their systems on the cloud as the demand for the cloud started to rise. But as we do compare and contrast later to post-COVID, then I'm sure that's going to be a topic we'll discuss a little bit later. So we saw where the banks were struggling to move beyond optimization. They haven't really gone into a transformation phase. The way that I look at it is that the banks were still relatively conservative. The whole ecosystem was more conservative. They were starting to make some moves, but they were more conservative. And I still saw an inside-out thinking. As we talk later, we'll see the outside-in thinking coming in, but they were thinking inside-out, meaning let's think about what app we need and then who provides it, and then is it running in the cloud? And those things have changed later. And the collaboration started. So collaborating through platforms, collaborating with the fintechs to support the modernization and the transformation effort has been going on to deliver better customer service to the customers. So we've seen bits and pieces of progress across the board, collaboration across the whole ecosystem. Over to you, Tram, please.
Yes, no, I have to agree. You know, I have to agree with both of you. I think what's before COVID was, we knew it already. Finance was clearly transforming, even before, you know, COVID-19. There were two numbers that stand out about 2020. At the start of the year, e-commerce was 20% of the share of retail spending. And if I have to compare it to now, at the end of the year, it was 30%. And 10 years ago, the top 10 largest financial institutions by market cap were all banks. Now, it's totally different. It's totally different. I'll share with you more later on, but five of them are now platforms company. So we are seeing, you know, at the beginning, it was very much, you know, more traditional, and today it's totally different. So as you know, Liam was saying, it seems miles away because a lot of things have happened. We'll discuss more. But what I would say is that, yes, we've seen, you know, this acceleration of digital. And with, you know, with the COVID, it just has spread out around the world. Banks are that were not digital, could not serve their clients. Some banks were looking at closing branches. And there's been, you know, a growth in the fintech space as well. But we can speak more about this.
So picking up on some of those trends you mentioned, Traman, I mean, since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. I mean, it's caused significant disruption and change to many aspects of daily life, which would have been almost unimaginable a year ago, from how we work, earn, shop and spend. So what are some of the major impacts seen in the fintech world? And perhaps I can ask that question of Liam to start.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's two areas of fintech in particular that have really been impacted by the pandemic. The first being the payment space. A lot of people will argue that this was a trend that was accelerating and it's just been given some sort of like rocket fuel over the last year. We've been seeing the introduction of newer technologies. And we've also seen the reintroduction of technologies that have been around for a while. So looking at the old technologies that have made a comeback, QR codes is something that's been around for a long time. And over the last year, they've become sort of commonplace. And that's because in numerous countries, governments have made people have to sign up to certain things using QR codes, and it's normalized the use of it. And what we've seen is organizations like PayPal have also been pushing the use of QR codes, and all of a sudden there's been this resurgence there. But on the other side of things, you've got the emergence of new technologies like open banking, and that really starting to make a big impact. So especially account-to-account payments and payments initiation service providers initiating those payments on behalf of individuals, between individuals and merchants. So for example, in the past, you'd probably pay with your Visa or MasterCard. Now you can actually go to a merchant and pay directly from your bank account to the merchant's bank account for pretty much zero fees. So these are some really, really interesting developments in the payment space that have really gained traction there. And then the other area that I just want to briefly touch on is the wealth tech space as well. So it really has been a year of mixed fortunes for individuals and organizations. So for many people, unfortunately, it has meant the loss of jobs, and that has meant that their disposable income has fallen. But on the flip side, we've seen a lot of people who have been either furloughed or been in their jobs, and their costs have reduced significantly due to reduced travel and other expenses going down. With this excess disposable income, we've seen a lot of people look to new and let's say more innovative ways of storing and investing their money. In the past, most people put it in a bank account, but with the low interest environment that we're looking at the moment, you're almost losing money over the years if you're just keeping it in a bank account. So people have looked to platforms like Freetrade, Robinhood, and other robo-advisors like Lumpmeg, for example, to try and make some money on their investments there. So we've seen people actively have to educate themselves in investment and then choose platforms. And a byproduct of that has been a massive increase in the amount of people using wealth tech propositions over the past year.
Great. Traman, I can see you nodding. Are there other examples where we're seeing the impacts of COVID-19 elsewhere in the fintech space outside of payments and wealth tech?
No, I have to agree, you know, with Liam, because what we've seen, you know, with after COVID is that new jobs in fintech, new people entering the industry with different backgrounds, much more collaboration. We'll speak more, but a few trends. It's definitely, you know, the rise of open banking and platforms. I see the rise of payment companies versus the banks as well. Visa, MasterCard, you know, Alipay, all of these are getting very strongly into the top financial institutions, and as we shared, you know, digital payments, new technology. What I see, and this is what Liam was saying, is that there were lots of people, you know, who were on furlough, couldn't do their job, you know, in finance because of furlough. They couldn't go in and do their job. And you've seen, you know, these all the traditional banks that has to close, you know, their branches couldn't operate. So now how do you make sure that people can adapt very, very fast? And that's the challenging thing. I was talking a few weeks ago with one of the global head of one of the largest banks in Europe, and he says that some of the people couldn't do their job, and there was a certain, you know, lack of understanding of this technology. People that are working in large organizations but couldn't, you know, adapt because there's a lack of understanding.
Traman, you mentioned there about adapting, and that leads us on actually to the subject of the pace of change. And it'd be interesting to hear, Ellie, your thoughts on how COVID and has COVID-19 led to a change in pace of new innovation and fintech formation?
We say COVID has brought the future forward. Fast forward button was pressed significantly. We see banks going from, banks are usually pretty risk averse and conservative segment, but now we see the banks are willing to make more what I would call brave decisions and make them faster. We see the financial institutions much more focused, meaning what we see is that projects that are not directly impacting their performance in this new world are just being delayed or canceled altogether. So that's one thing. Their approach to the cloud has changed in several areas. First of all, most of the banks we're talking to today are asking for a multi-cloud solution. This did not happen before COVID, but today they're saying, for disaster recovery, to spread our risk, we would like to check our options and run on multi-cloud. The cloud has changed beyond just being an infrastructure play to a data and analytics play. And data in general has become a much more visibly strategic, and where many banks and companies and fintechs are entering the space around data. The decisions within the banks with regards to cloud pre-COVID were primarily on with the technology people, the CIOs, the CTOs. This was the persona. And now we see a move from that technology function to either collaboration with the business function, like the CMO or the business owners within the banks, or completely owned by those business owners. The banks are now observing the fact that they must exploit data much faster and tackle the issues around volatility and risk. They recognize the power of data, and it's all because they all had to become much more digitized. So they're building what's called digital resilience, I would call it, where data is at the center of the strategy, and they use it in many areas like risk management, cost optimization, and optimization of the customer journey. So they're also thinking about data. Usually the data in a bank is organized in verticals, in silos. Today, the banks are looking, how do I get a 360 view on my business in general? Liam and Trev were talking about, for example, payments, absolutely getting a lot of traction. Liquidity, corporate liquidity and consumer liquidity has gotten a lot of traction. We see the Paycheck Protection Program in North America, where Finastra played a significant role in solutions that enable businesses and consumers to get access to funds provided by the governments, as well as solutions like Buy Now, Pay Later. And that's why companies like Afterpay, Sezzle, Splitfeed, or significant funding that goes to companies like Klarna and Affirm. So those are all the changes that we see in general. Data, cloud, liquidity, approach in terms of being more brave.
Great. You also mentioned the word collaboration, which I just want to park for 1 minute, but we will come back to that. And just before we do go on to collaboration, I just want to ask Liam specifically, you're obviously very focused at looking at the fintech ecosystem in the UK. And I'm very interested in terms of how COVID-19 has impacted new formation. Are we seeing new fintech startups coming through both here in the UK and further afield?
I think so. I think we are seeing a lot of early stage companies. With respect to how many have actually been created in the past year, I wouldn't be able to give you an accurate estimate of that. But what I have seen is a lot of new companies come out of various different areas of the UK in particular. So whereas in the past, we saw a lot of companies coming out of London and organizations deciding to look at London as their main headquarters, what we're really starting to see now are people becoming a little bit more geographically diverse. And we're starting to see hubs in various different areas of the UK. But also, when you look across Europe, you're seeing hubs in various different areas of Europe, which is super exciting to see. So it's not uncommon for you to have maybe your leadership team sitting in London, then you've got your tech team sitting in Lithuania, and then you've got your customer services team sitting in Cardiff, and it's really, really a mix there. So I'd say that with respect to the new formation of companies, not sure at the very, very early stage, but at the sort of seed stage, we're seeing a lot of companies doing very well.
You're listening to Open Finance, the podcast series that believes the future of finance is open, brought to you by Finastra. Please rate, review, and subscribe through your usual podcast app. So coming back to the theme of collaboration, which Ellie touched on, has the pandemic led to a change in approach from the fintech community? Is there a greater focus on partnerships and collaboration? Traman, perhaps I can direct that question at you.
Yes, no, thanks a lot for asking the question. I think I'll share a little bit of what's happening, for example, in Asia. What we've seen with COVID-19 is an acceleration of collaboration between the fintech and the banks. Why? Because there's a great need. The banks realize very quickly that they need to collaborate much faster with the fintech to be able to serve better their clients. We've seen, for example, the regulator with MAS, the Singapore regulator, who has put very quickly an initiative called APIX, which is a platform for the ASEAN Financial Innovation Network, which helps basically to create a platform that supports financial innovation and inclusion with the whole of ASEAN, with the world, which allowed very quickly for all the fintechs that wants to make partnership with the banks to get the regulator to do their own KYC. So basically make it one-to-one, like the 270 fintechs with the 50 financial institutions, to boost and do their KYC much faster so that collaboration can go faster. And I think it was a great initiative. I know that some of part of the world is doing the same, but I think for me was a great boom for collaboration. I mean, I can mention there's quite a lot in the UK, but one in Asia was a significant one is Grab entering into finance, and Grab now today making partnership with Citibank. So it's a great example of what's the acceleration is happening, entrance of new players into fintech with payments, but also making a big momentum by partnering with big banks.
Interesting. And it's interesting that you say that the regulator in that Singapore example has played a very key role in aiding and helping the fintech ecosystem to collaborate with the banks. I'm going to change the subject slightly, and I'm very interested to know, has access to funding for early and later stage fintech companies been impacted by the pandemic? Ellie, perhaps I could direct that question at you to start.
Sure, I can start. I think that at the beginning of the pandemic, funding has kind of slowed down because everybody took a step back and said, what are we going to do with this new reality? But as you look at 2020, for example, according to London and the partners, you know, despite all the issues we're having, in 2020, London tech firms alone raised $10.5 billion. So we've seen somewhat of a deceleration, but then things came back to normal. And I think that to normal and even beyond, I would say that. And I think that that has to do with the fact that the industry as a whole has recognized the key role that fintechs are now playing in the ecosystem. And furthermore, quite a bit of money has been poured into what I would call fintechs that provide the ability for banks to provide banking as a service or embedded finance capabilities. And I have to bring up that point, with your permission, on the previous point on collaboration, where, yes, fintechs and banks collaborating to deliver more innovating solutions to their consumers, check, absolutely going on. There's a new dimension to collaboration that is happening, where the banks are now collaborating with many other non-bank entities, call them brands, because the thinking has become outside-in thinking. It's about how do I embed finance capabilities inside the customer or the consumer journey? And to do that, banks are now working in collaboration with non-financial institutions, providing them bank-as-a-service capabilities. And we see that because we are one of the big enablers in the market for bank-as-a-service with our platform called FusionFabric.cloud. So we see that trend where a bank wants to now leverage their infrastructure they've built for FX or for lending or for cash management or payments, and they want to be able to distribute that directly to corporations and embed those capabilities inside the customer journey. That's what's called embedded finance.
Interesting. Liam, Traman, would you concur with what Ellie has described in terms of the funding environment for the fintech ecosystem?
Yeah, it really was a story. Last year was a sort of like a story of two very different halves. As Ellie mentioned, when it first hit, the pandemic, that is, capital almost dried up. Investors were protecting their portfolios, so they weren't making that many new investments in those first few months. And a lot of their portfolio companies were actually going to their investments to make sure that they had enough runway to get them out of the pandemic. And to be honest, we all naively thought that that could be just a few months at the time. Those who were a bit more long-term in their thinking thought, do you know what, let me get 18 months worth of runway here. And normally they would go to their existing investors for that capital rather than for new investors.
Has the shape of the capital funding changed such that it's actually been prioritized on existing fintech companies and ensuring that they can survive and thrive rather than new startups and very, very early stage?
I'd say most investors, as much as venture capital is the most adventurous of investments, I'd say a lot of investors are slightly risk averse. So if you can invest in a company that's at the Series A stage and has shown some serious proof points and it looks like they've got a strong future ahead of them, I'd say the vast majority of venture investors would probably put their capital into those companies rather than the ones who have got a great pitch deck and maybe a strong team but haven't showed that they've got product market fit. So that's the unfortunate truth, I believe, of the industry. But I do feel in the past year there has been more of a focus on companies that have a little bit more traction.
That's a really nice point at which to start to look forward. I am looking forward, and once COVID-19 is hopefully a thing of the past, I'm interested to know from each of you, what is the one big trend that you each expect to see in the next 5 to 10 years, say, that will lead to further innovation in the fintech sector? Ellie, do you want to start with that?
Sure. I think to me, if I may mention two things, one of them I already mentioned. I think that the emergence of building a complete open ecosystem for financial services that will be provided in partnerships between a licensed bank, regulated licensed bank, some kind of platform provider, and a brand. It could be any kind of a company, a large company, like I'll give an example of Shopify that has thousands of businesses on their network. You're going to see that partnership between a licensed bank, a platform, and a brand that distributes financial services. You know, Bill Gates said, I think 20 odd years ago, that banks are not needed. Banking is. And I think what we're going to see is that banking capabilities will continue to be strongly embedded inside the customer and the consumer journeys. So that's one big change that's going to happen. It already started to happen. We see the pull in the market. The other thing I would say is on the non-technical side. And here I'm talking about sustainability, green investments, a willingness to talk about financial inclusion, solving some of inequality problems, helping the unbanked. That is a theme. You know, our chief executive officer, Simon Peres, always says that we want to do well by doing good. And we see that happening all around us, where we're investing more. We have more themes around financial inclusion and solving a lot of inequality, as well as sustainability and becoming more green.
Traman, turning to you, what's the one big trend that you expect to see in the coming 5 to 10 years?
I see quite a bit, but I think we touch a bit on trends like new ways of doing finance, embedded payments and finance, absorbing other sectors, just as retail, healthcare, services. So a new ways of doing finance, we're seeing it already, it's just going to be accelerating. So new entrants, new big tech companies, giant pushing even more into payments and banking. So that's one thing. For me, sustainable finance, impact investing, green investing, financial inclusion, more and more to help, you know, those that are in need of to have access to finance, more collaboration. But one thing, if there was one thing that, you're giving me this opportunity today, is that we are in need of talent. We need to create new talent. It's not normal today that you have all traditional finance professionals, but they don't understand technology. And I would see that we see the trends of new jobs being created. We have produced a report that we're very happy to share, but I think much more collaboration, but means that people need to be prepared.
And Liam, over to you.
Yeah, I think it's important to echo that collaboration point from both Chaman and Ellie. It is super important and something that at TechNation we focused on. So our FinTech Delivery Panel has recently launched the FinTech Pledge, which is led by five banks across the UK. And essentially what it's doing is it's making sure that there's a structured framework in place for when banks want to partner with fintech companies. So I reckon that's going to just be a huge thing going forward. Touching on Ellie's point around banking's needed, but are banks actually needed? I feel like a lot of banking products are going to become commoditized, and it's just the case of just distributing them through the right channels. And the organizations that can build those pipes and they can provide that distribution, they're going to massively benefit from this. And the organizations that are maybe building these commoditized products probably will lose out in the long run, and they have to really think about how they're going to get the income that they previously had and stop it from being stolen by newcomers and other entrants into the market. And I suppose the last thing I want to mention also around the collaboration point is just collaborations between fintechs and fintechs. We are starting to see absolutely massive fintech companies now. We're going to see more people enter the industry, and fintech is going to become more and more important, not just for the tech world, but just for society in general. So I feel like we're going to see more fintech collaborations. We're going to see more fintechs going public, and it's just going to grow even further as an industry.
That was Liam Gray, FinTech Lead at TechNation, a government-funded growth platform for technology businesses. Chaman Nguyen, co-founder of the Centre for Technology, Finance and Entrepreneurship, and Ellie Rosner, Chief Product and Technology Officer at Finastra. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, have a listen to our other episodes in this series, which explore financial exclusion, bridging the wealth gap, and international fintech collaboration. And do please rate, review, and subscribe through your usual podcast app. I'm Helen Driver. Thanks for listening to Open Finance, the podcast series that believes the future of finance is open. Brought to you by Finastra.